This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
How are you all doing? Thank you for joining us for the next episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It was so much fun last week.
Yes.
Hopefully you've all listened by now to our sweet guest, Dana. That was wonderful having her on.
I loved it.
So much wisdom. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes. And she, you know, she models such a cool thing about just being vulnerable in her place, you know, the things that she's going through that.
Yeah.
It really does help other people know that they're not alone.
Yeah. And the cool thing was, and why I know we have to have her back, after the episode, we chatted a little more off air. And man, there was just so much more wisdom, even after we stopped recording. And I was like, we could have made a whole other episode. So
right.
I was like, we have to have this gal back, because there's just a lot of untapped wisdom there that I know our audience would benefit from.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. She's so authentic and just so real. And yeah, she just has a really great heart, really loves God. So
yeah. Beautiful faith. Beautiful faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tonight, let me just start out by saying I went to a leadership conference today. And I heard a quote, and I was just really moved by that, which triggered tonight's topic. And the quote was from Maya Angelou. And doing a little research, I found out that it was in a poem she had written that had a lot different background than what we're going to be speaking tonight. But we're going to just speak in the way that the quote hit me today, because it was my, you know, personal experience hearing her quote. But the quote says, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. And again, that was Maya Angelou. And when I heard that today, I just felt like tonight would be a beautiful time to just take a look back why Jen and I started this podcast to begin with. And just kind of pull the curtain back for you all to just take a peek inside, because I think the why is always relevant and it matters.
Yep.
And Jen and I have some crazy passions, and it would just be cool to share them with you, just why we started this podcast and why we keep being vulnerable and crazy and putting all of our stuff out there just for everyone to hear. It's not just for no reason at all. It has a deep purpose for each of us. So Jen, why did we start this crazy podcast?
To share our experiences with other folks that really need to hear that there is hope and there are people that can relate to where you are. And we wanted to really help people to look at their life and see where God has shown up in like everyday moments. Sometimes they're very imperfect moments, or, you know, God speaks through, like my first episode, or our first episode, I should say, of the nail in the tire and how God showed up in that. But really, I think it's just, we want to see lives changed. We want to see people come out of the darkness, and we want to be vulnerable and authentic and say, this is where we've been. This is the stuff we've experienced. And hey, look, this is how God walked us through healing for us and is continuing to walk us through healing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Jen and I, the timing of the podcast kind of opening was, I think my book had just released. I think it had just released, and Jen's was very close to releasing.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of like the natural progression for that. This was kind of just a great next step for us, is We talked about our memoirs because both of us wrote memoirs, and really just to come here and be a voice to those books and a voice to those people who really were on our hearts as we wrote the book. And for me, a big passion of mine, there's several, but one of the biggest things I think of as a girl who began church and had it, I guess, in my 30s when I was really diving into the church experience and sitting in that dark room with all these skeletons in my closet and being so full of anxiety and so just terrified to be just to be open about what had happened to me, what had occurred. And I just thought that was so unchristian-like. But now, having shared all of the skeletons in the closets, writing a book, getting healing, therapy, and many other things, I'm able to talk about these things so easily. And that's what I'm so passionate about because I come from a church that we have an option to be more open about things like sexual abuse. We have groups about it. People have talked about it from a stage. Could it be talked about more? Absolutely. Do I want it to be talked about more from our church? Absolutely. But what a privilege that I God has me at a church that I'm able to hear about these experiences. And so why we are so, or I'm going to just speak for me because Jen has all kinds of things she's passionate about. But why I'm so passionate is about, I know that's not everyone's experience at your church. And I know that Jesus didn't come to die on the cross so you could die with that shame inside of you.
That's right.
And so I am so sick of our church body not normalizing these things because, like it or not, statistics show, and I looked up, statistics are getting way better, but statistics showed, at least when we had started out, Jen and I, 1 in 4 little girls had been abused by the time they were 18. And that is reported cases. Neither Jen nor my case was reported. So the numbers were a lot more, I'm sure. I would say 1 in 2. And
Right.
so we know because of those numbers that people are sitting in those churches and are desperate to find their voice and their healing. And I'm so thankful that the Lord gave me back my voice so I can so openly share. So hopefully it inspires to others to feel like they're not alone, number one, and that there's hope for them too, and that they can find healing and that they do not have to die with all that darkness and shame inside of them. That's
Amen.
no way to live. I lived it and it was miserable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I second that. Like, whole reason for writing my book was to give hope to folks that have been in the same sort of situation. Not only sexual abuse, but like emotional distance from a parent or suicidal thoughts. Feeling like having such a horrible, horrible self-image, feeling like no one would care if I was here or not, that my feelings and my experiences didn't matter. And that's just a lie from Satan. That's just a lie from the enemy to keep people in bondage. And we I think in the church, when we think of bondage, we think of like these evil, pervasive things that like pornography or alcoholism or whatever it is. But you can also be in bondage to your own bad self image, and you may not even know it, or your negative thinking. There's a bondage there, and God wants your freedom from that. Like, He doesn't want you to have a bad self-image. You are the image bearer of God. Like, He loves you so much. He has you written on the palm of His hand. Like, you are His completely. He doesn't want you to have a bad self-image. He doesn't want you to have negative thoughts, negative self-talk, because it talks about the renewing of your mind, where you can have peace and you can stand on the truths of God. So.
And so here we are today. We have been, you know, every week we share a little more. And I think at some point we will go more into sharing our story in lots more detail, or you'll get them bits and pieces here and there. But, you know, the importance of the why, it's just so important that, you know, the Me Too movement came out, I don't know, several years ago now. And I feel like that turned, you know, a little bit to share why it was so important. You saw so many women getting free just by saying it, you know,
right,
just by coming into the light. And so we turned a little corner in the world, which was amazing. I hopped on, was, you know, in social media, and I was hashtagging Me Too, and I felt so much freedom. Like, people know what I'm saying, but we still have a long way to go in our church, in our churches. And like I said, Jen and I have been so blessed that the Lord has been so gracious, to walk us through a healing journey. And it was a journey.
And it's continuing.
I say that so openly, the journey part, because God is good and God does miracles all the time. I've experienced miracles from the Lord.
Sure.
But I've also experienced God taking me by the hand, not literally, but one step at a time through a healing journey. And so if, you know, it's not always a miracle. We can't always just have the wand waved over us and it be wiped all the way. And I'm so thankful now that I'm on this healing journey with the Lord, because I can now look back and see how far he has taken me and how far we've came together. And I can reflect back as now I'm sharing my voice and share things that helped me along the way. Maybe they'll help you. Maybe they won't. Only God knows. And that's why having a relationship with him is so important. But, you know, if I didn't have that journey with the Lord, I think that I know that it would be a lot different today. I wouldn't be so appreciative of this healing space I'm in. It would have just been like, oh, poof, oh, it's gone. Okay, let's move on, you know? And this, it's been really hard, but it's been so beautiful. So.
Yeah, I love that so much. I love that so much. And, you know, I think for me, the biggest healing has happened because people have shared their experiences with me. Because you really, you know, AA says you're only as sick as your secrets. And it is absolutely the truth, because there's power in giving voice to your pain and acknowledging your pain and owning it and saying it's like, it's legit, and having someone else hear your words and say, yeah, I've been there. And you know that they have, and they embrace you and relate to you. And so that's why I think stories are so important, you know, that they connect us in ways that, you know, nothing can. I mean, like just you and I and our friendship, like we came together. Well, initially it was over telling stories, right? Sharing our story. And you know, I have a passion for telling stories, other people's stories, and interviewing and stuff like that. But then it was like CST, it was childhood sexual trauma, and going through that group. And you know, that it's a painful group to be a part of, as far as realizing that so many people have had this experience, it breaks my heart. But at the same time, it was very empowering for someone to say, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
What you feel is legit. It, what you feel is important. Your feelings are valid. Like for me, I always felt like my feelings, because they were so ridiculed so often, that I wasn't entitled to feel what I felt about things. You know, getting angry at my dad, you know, feeling estranged from my mom, just those types of things. Like I always just felt like I was the worst kind of person because I just couldn't resolve that, those feelings, and, you know, why, I don't know why I couldn't be better, but
right.
I had to walk through the pain of it. So.
Right. And well, in the church world, we kind of damage it a little bit because we try to put Christian words on it. Like, right. Well, you know, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Right.
Well, you know, like, okay, well, that's a good plan. I absolutely believe that we should be headed always towards forgiveness. Definitely, 100%. I'm
sure.
A believer in
sure,
that.
Sure.
But also knowing that I'm not Jesus Christ himself. And so I'm a person, and it takes a little bit more time. And so it's going to look different for everyone. Their healing journey and forgiveness journey is going to look completely different. But for me, it's been a journey. It's not a one and done, I forgive the person kind of thing.
Right.
It's walking through that and surrendering it and forgiving over and over again until it becomes real, at least for me.
Right.
Because,
no, that's right.
Because I heard the things like, you know, forgiveness, we've heard it all a billion times before. Forgiveness is not for you, it's for them. Absolutely. Or not for them, it's for you. Sorry, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Absolutely, that's true. They, most people are running around out there after they hurt you, and it doesn't hurt them one bit, typically. Not always, typically.
Right.
You're left with the scars. It is for you. It's absolutely for you. But it takes some time. It takes some time. And it's okay. I know for me, I had like a personal radar, if you will, that I had thought that I forgave this person over and over, the person who abused me, but I had said that I hope this person dies and burns in hell. And that was honestly how I felt. But it was a great indicator, because when I finally knew that I forgave that person, and I mean this with all my heart now, I said, I hope this person knows the Lord and reconnects with them in heaven someday.
Yeah.
And I totally believe that and desire that even to this day. But you see how opposite those two things are. It didn't happen overnight. It was a journey that I had to take that got me there.
Yeah.
I had to walk through my pain and my hurt. I had to heal from that pain and that hurt. And I had to have compassion for another human and knowing I was broken too, and that I've hurt people too.
Right.
But what
Right.
he did was not okay. And honoring that, and honoring that. And will I ever have a relationship with this person again? Absolutely not. Nope. It's not a safe relationship. It's not safe for me. It's not safe for my family. But I do hope that they know the Lord, and I forgive them, and I hope they're in heaven someday.
You know, as you were talking about that at the beginning there, where you were talking about how people will throw these things at you, they will lob these things at you that are weaponized advice, which they don't,
maybe not.
Well, I don't know that they realize that it is.
Right.
Right. But it is a weaponized kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
they'll say, you just need to forgive and keep moving forward. Well, unless we have a mutual understanding of what forgiveness is, we're not really talking the same thing. And then sometimes those kind of words are merely to get you to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, like I had folks say that very thing to me, you know, you shouldn't be talking about your experience with your father. You're supposed to forgive and move forward. I had somebody quote to me the scripture about pressing forward and not looking behind, and you know, that's what I should be doing. And I am doing those things, but those were like, it's weaponized advice, if you will, designed to say, you just be quiet. You're not handling your pain, your trauma in the right way. And like I said, unless we have an agreed upon understanding of what those things are, it's like talking two different languages. I mean, by all means, yes, you have to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. Has nothing, like you said, to do with the other person. It's all about you. But it is a process, and it does take time. And you have to get there when you get there. Like you have to work that out. And it's like an onion. Sometimes forgiveness is every minute. Sometimes it's every second. Sometimes it's, you know, multiple times a day. It just, you know what I mean? But you do it in obedience when you're ready to get to that point. And yet you understand too what forgiveness is. Like I said, it's knowing what the agreed upon meaning of that is. So it's not releasing someone from accountability for what they've done. It's not saying that what they did was okay. It's not saying you have to forget it happened and act like it never happened. That's not what it is. So.
Yeah. And I like what you said. It's really those little weapons. It is really to silence, you know, it's the silence. So because it's uncomfortable, right? Like every time I talk about these things, I talk about these things openly in my life, out in the real world all the time on purpose. And I do it for a few reasons. Number one, I do it because I want to give, if I'm talking to someone who's had that experience, I don't know that, but I want to give them permission to find their voice too.
Yeah.
I want to give them permission to, hey, maybe they have a similar experience. They can share it with me, or they can know that it's possible to share it someday. And I also do it so freely. I talk about my background in stripping. I talk about my sexual abuse. And I also do it so openly because it needs to be normalized, because it's a normal problem that the human race has. I hate that it's a normal problem.
Right.
But it is. It's here. It has been here for a very long time. And so it's a normal thing, and we have to be open about it because it's so in the dark still, and people are dying sick, and it's not okay, and it's not fair, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I mean, I remember the first time I went through CST, and there was an older gentleman. He had to be at least in his 70s, and I'm saying at least, and he was just choked up listening in the class all the time. It's the first time he ever dealt with this stuff, and it broke my heart. You know, if I know, and you're never, and don't let that discourage you. If you are out there listening to that and you are in your 70s, it is never too late to heal. It is. If I am experiencing the amount of freedom that I am experiencing right now, if it was just for 1 minute, it would have been worth it. It would have been worth it. So don't let that discourage you, because I know that's the first thing you're thinking if you're listening, like, well, I'm too old for this. No, you're not.
Amen.
No,
you're not. Mm-mm.
And God, I'm telling you, he is so good. And he really does like stretch your time. Like it's beautiful. Like I'm in my 40s now, and I feel like I'm literally just getting started.
Right.
You know, like it's so beautiful. Like I feel so youthful again. Like I just feel like it's a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He's so good. So, you know, like I said, this is why I'm out there in the public, in my crazy self. I wear my hair colored most of the time on purpose, because I'm telling you, I get to have conversations that the rest of you people out there who look normal don't get to have. And I know that sounds so silly, but I God has shared with me about my hair a zillion times that I reach a different audience that is not going to walk up to someone that looks like they have it all together. They're not. They're just not. And that's okay. That's part of what he has for me, you know? And so I am approached by a different group of people. That we all have our people, you know, that God has for us. So,
my people,
like they'll come up and we'll start talking about hair, you know, and how they would want to do that, but they could never do that. Well, a lot of times if I talk to these people, which I do, it's because they're scared of what other people think, because they're people pleasers. Well, don't I have a story about that? You know, so it's just a beautiful thing that, you know, God does. And I'm living out loud, but it wasn't always that way. I was very, very not living out loud. There's not even a good word for it, but I didn't have my voice. And now I have it back. And I'm so thankful. It doesn't always come out right. It's not always cleaned up, but I'm so thankful that the Lord has healed me so I can use my voice in this way. And that's why we're here, right, Jen?
Right,
exactly. We didn't always have this voice.
No, not at all. I always felt like what I had to say was unimportant. It wouldn't be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hide. I would hide who I really was and what I really felt to just bend myself into someone else's expectations of the way I should be.
Yeah.
And you know what? I refuse to do that now.
Yeah.
And as a result, I really like myself.
Amen.
I really like me. I can't say that I was always that way, but I like my quirks and I like the things I like and yeah, it all of the stuff, but that came as a result of sharing my story, being authentic, finding safe places to do that.
Yeah,
and letting God in to do the healing that needed to be done. And I know we've said this before, but I'll just also say this. Like when I say sharing my story, like I can do it publicly now because I found safe places in the beginning to start sharing my story. Not entirely at the beginning, because I did share my story with people that were not safe, and then they turned around and used it against me. And that was a horrible feeling. But when I found safe places to share my story and they were able to reflect back to me in ways to unravel it and find God's truth, then it was like I got to a point where telling my story publicly was what I knew God had called me to do.
Yeah.
And now it's really okay. Like, yeah, I'm gonna share it to whoever I can.
Yeah.
We'll have hope, same as you, which is the whole reason we wrote our books, right?
Amen. Yeah. Such a blessing.
I'm telling you.
And before we hop off on here today, I wanted to holla at our girl, Jenny Becknell, who's such a faithful listener.
And a sponsor. And,
yes, and a beautiful sponsor. So we thank you, Jenny, because without you, this wouldn't be possible. And we just want to take a moment to invite other potential sponsors. If you like what you hear, and if you want to get a shout out on our podcast, we would love to do so. We would love to, you know, shout out a product, a service, whatever that looks like,
a company,
for you, or just
ministry,
you,
or a person. Yes. That's right.
Yes, or just you. So, if you would like to be a sponsor, Jen always puts the email link in the podcast notes, and you can check that out there. But we thank you, Jenny. It is.
Love you, Jenny. Thank you. Thank you for being our sponsor.
Such a faithful friend. And it's so cool to have a cheerleader in your court. And she's an awesome cheerleader.
She totally is. Yep. She's a rock star.
Amen.
Well, all right, folks. Until next time, thank you for joining us. It's been a good conversation, and we would love your feedback. So,
bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.